If you were to look at the outline, there's a line there that says, freedom is never free. Right above that, you might draw a line because most likely, freedom is never free will move over to next week. And I have not done that in a while, but we moved to the New Testament at that particular time. We've been talking about Pentecost and the filling of the Spirit over the past few weeks, and today we're in the Old Testament. Into a psalm. We love the psalms, but this particular psalm is one that I think God has really opened for this day. And I hope you hear it. It is a psalm that is one that's a little unusual, and it is a psalm that is a teaching psalm. Most psalms are praising psalms. This particular one, there's a few of these, are teaching psalms. And I want to read the passage from the New Living Translation, and then when we study it, I'll be more in the NIV, but I'd like to read it from the New Living Translation. Now, you know the first verse. As the deer longs or pants for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food. While my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. That is an interesting psalm. It is almost discouraging to read. You hear the word again and again, and we identify with that quite a bit. Now, I ask you a question. You ever been thirsty? You know, obviously, we've been thirsty. When I'm calling a football game or when I used to play, especially, I would be so thirsty. Just give me some water. That's all I want is some water or whatever they had, you know, the Gatorade. Just give me some of that. And sometimes you're so thirsty and there's not water to drink. I just want some water. I want anything to drink. During this time of year, I have a hard time staying away from sweet tea. And I drink it by the one glass, turns into another glass, and next thing you know, I have really consumed a good bit of that. And I think about this psalm. It is called a maskil. Now, a maskil is a teaching psalm. A little different from the lifting up of the Lord. Oh, it does this. It's a teaching psalm. And some of us are going through and have gone through a time of discouragement. It's interesting, with all the kids gone this morning, I think about their lives and how their lives, especially some of the ones we're dealing with, have been uprooted lately. And they don't know how to express discouragement, but they're discouraged. Why has this happened to me? Why has my family fallen apart? Why has this happened? And they don't know how to really express it. And sometimes our walk with the Lord becomes dry. And I said, I need some water, Lord. I'm thirsty. And we experience, and I'm going to use the word depression again, not clinically, but you get what I'm saying. Sometimes we're just blue. Sometimes we're just down a little bit. Does anybody identify with that? Yeah, maybe today. And I look in this psalm, and it's so real. And I love when things are real. It says, I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm crying. And there have been times like that in my life where somebody will say, what's wrong? I said, I don't really know what's wrong. I can't tell you, can't put my finger on it, but it's wrong. And have you ever been there? And maybe more importantly, are you there right now? A spiritual dark place. Sometimes it is just there. It's like somebody drew the shades and said, I need some light. Well, there are signs and symptoms, and I want to get into that. I think the first part said some myth and reality. Let me get into what we know first, then we get into the scripture. When we get down, when we get depressed, It can affect our daily activities. You just don't want to do anything. I just kind of want to rest. I just don't feel like it. And some of those signs are persistent sadness or anxiety or maybe a hopelessness, a helplessness. There's nowhere to turn at times. We sometimes even have physical symptoms. We outburst. We snap at people we love. And we don't mean it, but we do. We just kind of live there. We're irritable. But you know, there's depression found in Scripture. I want you to listen to the words of Job. Now, in the Old Testament, Job had some problems, right? You know, everything was taken away. But I want you to listen to these words. Job said, "Lord, if I could have one request, the one thing I want you to grant for me, and that would be that it would please you that you would just crush me and cut me off. Do away with me. That's my request." He was that down. He was in anguish. He said again, "So I have allotted mouths of futility, and I have had wearisome nights, and they have been appointed to me. I lay down and I say, when shall I arise and the night be ended? For I have had my fill," Job says, "of tossing until dawn." Now, have you ever done that? I've had my fill. I'm worried about the kids. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about whatever it is. And Lord, I've had my fill of this. Sometimes I've had seasons of life when things are just weighing on me. And there's nothing like getting up in the morning. Sometimes you get up real early. I just can't lay there anymore. I can't even think about it anymore. Job says again, "My face is flushed from weeping. On my eyelids is the shadow of death." We talk about crying. Sometimes we cry so much. Of course, the ladies wear makeup or mascara. When they cry, the mascara runs. Us guys, when we cry, you can't see it in quite the same way. But every now and then, you'll see somebody's eyes, and they'll be puffy, and say, "You've been crying, haven't you?" And we run into that. Okay, so we know about Job being depressed. What about Elijah? Elijah had the great victory. God performed great work through Elijah, and here he was. And he had this great victory. And not long after that, Jezebel said, "I'm coming after you." And Elijah, instead of remembering what God had done, Elijah started doubting. And he ran, and he ran out of the town. And it said in 1 Kings 19, he went a day's journey into the wilderness, went out into the woods, and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And said, "It's enough now. Lord, take my life from me. No better than my father's." And I've been there before at times. I said, "Lord, I'm just done. It's overwhelming. I can't go on another step." And we have those times and we get in those seasons of being really depleted spiritually. And we say, "Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I need a drink from you." Now, there are some reasons we get in these places. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Sometimes we're fatigued. Now, you've been tired before. There's no more time when you're spiritually vulnerable is when you're tired. We've moved a few times. Nothing's more tiring than moving. And you're putting the boxes and you're getting everything done, and you are just physically drained. And when you're physically drained, it is easy to start going spiritually dry. Because you just need physical strength too. One thing is, sometimes we get fatigued. David said in 1 Samuel, David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. "I'm tired of crying. I can't even do it anymore." Same thing with Moses. Remember, he held up his hand and Aaron, they had to hold up his hands. You know, there are a lot of us who are going through problems, family problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, and we need others to come alongside of us and say, "Let me help you because I know you can't even cry anymore. You're so down, I want to help pull you up." So to counter the fatigue, we need to get it plugged into God's source and not be vulnerable to our own fatigue. Well, what about being frustrated? We get frustrated at times, and frustration and interruptions, inconveniences. And when the bad things happen in life, they don't happen at a good time. They don't happen when I need it. If this would have been last week, it would have been better, but this week it's not good. And they happen right at the wrong time, and you get really frustrated. Nehemiah, when he's rebuilding the wall, they're rebuilding the wall. He said this in chapter 4, "The strength of the workers is failing. And there is so much rubbish that we're not even able to build a wall." We know the end of the story. He built the wall. But at that time, he said, "We can't do it. Now, if he could step back and see a proper perspective, hey, Nehemiah, the wall's getting built. It's just not getting built as fast as you would like. But he, in the moment, he's sitting in the middle of the pile of rubbish, and he says, we can't even build the wall. And sometimes in our families, we feel like, with the kids, we get like that, and we say, I can't do it anymore. Young mothers get just really strung out, and they're just, I can't do it. I can't handle them anymore. That's where some of us older ones can come aside, let me help. Let me help a little bit. And sometimes we have failure in life. The psalmist writes in Psalm 73, the flesh in my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And we have those failures. And in our failures of life, sometimes we get really down. We get discouraged. There have been many times in my life where I've wanted something and I've worked hard for something and it didn't come to pass. As a matter of fact, I wanted it and I did everything I could do to get it and it didn't happen and I kind of failed. You ever been there? Failed. Every time you play sports, 50% of the participants fail. Half the team walk off the field losing it. And on a Friday night when I'm calling a football game, at the end of the game, they always shake hands. And everybody shakes hands. And one team has always got a bounce in their step and the other team is like this. Every Friday night. It could be individual sport. You play and you fail. Some of us are old enough to remember the agony of defeat. Remember the wild world of sports, the agony of the defeat? And that happens. Well, we also have fear. And fear in life can cause us to be down. Proverbs 3 says, don't be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. So we could go on and list reasons that we get down. But the thing is, what are the answers? The psalmist here asks three questions. Question one, he says in verse 2, where can we go when we need to meet with God? When we need to hear from God? Question 2 was, why is my soul downcast? Another version actually uses the word depressed. And why am I so depressed? The third question in verse 9 is, why have you forgotten about me? Now, I'm sure we've asked all those questions many times. We say, where do I go to get refreshment? Where do I go to meet with the Lord? Lord, where can I meet you because I just need you? It's like when I talk to Christy on the phone and we've been apart. We're not apart a lot, but we're apart a lot. Well, I can't wait to see you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Or when you come home and you ever come in the house and you come in the house and somebody has cooked. And there's nothing like it. You walk in. There have been a couple of times when we've been on vacation, or maybe not on vacation, going to a conference, and we come home and my mother has cooked for us as we come back in town. Why don't you stop by and eat? And I say, well, okay, stop by. And you eat and you get that meal and you get that nourishment and you like to be together again. But what about the question, why is my soul downcast? And have you ever asked the question, why? I don't know why. I'm just down and I can't tell you why. I can tell you if I'm tired or not really tired. I can't tell you why. There's just something not right in my soul. And sometimes we do ask the question as well, Lord, are you there? Do you hear me, Lord? I've been praying about this for a long time. Do you hear me? And sometimes the Lord is all about not just instantaneous answering our prayer to help us to learn to trust in that season. I'm going to trust you. Yeah, I'm going to walk by faith. Not by sight, not by the things I see. And there's some myths we have. And some of the myths are these. Some people think when we believe and we come to Christ that life is going to be easy. That's a myth. We are susceptible to the same things everybody else is susceptible to, just like our Lord was. Jesus went through life and he had to deal with people. He had to work as a carpenter. And then, of course, he had to deal with the rejection of people, just like we do. Another myth is this, when we come to Christ and we believe sometimes that our happiness, our blessedness is probably a better word, is based on our circumstances and they're not. Can you trust even when the circumstances are bad? Now there's a word in the Old Testament, it's called Elpis. Not Elvis, but Elpis. And it means to have hope. Do you place your hope in the Lord even when you can't see the other end of the tunnel? Now, when I was a little kid, we used to go to the zoo. And at the zoo, they had one of these old metal pipes, and that was the tunnel. Put it in the ground, and when I was a kid, you'd go in that tunnel, and the sound of that little train would be so loud, and we'd ride the train through that tunnel, and I'd be nervous about getting in there. And I'd be nervous, just a little kid. And I'd go in there, and I'd hear the loud sound, and it was dark, and then all of a sudden, you could see the end of the tunnel. And I started to say, it's going to be okay. The same way in life, sometimes we start walking through the dark place, and we can't see the end. And we say, Lord, but I know you have me. The Lord promises he will never leave you, never forsake you. Let's go to the passage now and pull out some of the things we should do. First of all, in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 42, we must call upon the Lord. Now, that's where we start and end. We call upon the Lord. The psalmist says this. So let's read the first two verses again. As the deer pants for water, brooks, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? God, I'm thirsty. When are you ready to give me some water? I'm hungry. When are you going to feed me? A deer can run several miles, and they have burst of speeds up to 35 miles an hour. A deer can leap. You ever seen a deer really run? It can leap. We had one in our neighborhood. How does a deer get in our neighborhood? But one night we're coming home a couple years ago, and all of a sudden this deer darts in front of the road. And of course, I was more shocked than he was, because how does a deer get in our neighborhood? But there he was. And he was doing that deer run. You know how a deer runs this way and that way. But here's the thing about a deer. When a deer runs a lot, a deer gets thirsty. As a matter of fact, deer, they're not the smartest animals in the world, but they're smart enough to stay close to a water source. Because in their habitat, when they run, they get so thirsty. If they don't have water, they will eventually just die, of course. And so when he's writing this, he's saying, understand that I'm like the deer. I have been running the race, and I'm real thirsty. My mouth is parched, and I want water. To the fleeing deer, no water means no habitat, no haven, no home, no help. Sometimes we feel like there's no help, no hope because we're thirsty. But at those times, cry out to God. Lord, I know you're there. I know you're there. In Joel 1:20, we see these same words. The beast of the field also cry out to you. And the word cry and the word pant are the same meanings there. I cry out to God. I pant for you, Lord. I need you. My family's falling apart. Financially, we're underneath it. Spiritually, I'm dry. Our relationships are down. Whatever it might be, I have sickness in my family. I don't know what to do with this. I'm dry. Lord, can you hear me? Lord, do you hear me? The psalmist really had this down pat. A few years ago, 1996 to be exact, Joey Mora knew what it was like to be thirsty. He was standing on the platform of an aircraft carrier in the Iranian Sea, and there was an accident somehow, and he fell overboard into the sea. He was missing for 36 hours before they even knew he was gone. And they searched for him for 24 hours, and they finally figured out if he'd been 60 hours in the water, most likely he did not survive. But he did survive, and he took his pants off, and he put air in his pants and used that as a flotation device and floated for those 2 days. Some Pakistani fishermen saw him and picked him up, and he was delirious. At the time, they picked him up and they drug him into their raft and took him to safety and so forth and to get him some help. And you may remember the story. He was being interviewed by Stone Phillips. This is a few years ago on NBC Dateline. And Joey said that it was God who kept him struggling to survive. And the most excruciating thing of all, Joey said, was that there was only one thing that took over my mind and my heart and my being, and that was water. I thought of nothing else but water. At first, I thought about getting home, but eventually, I couldn't even think about getting home. Water was the only thing I thought of. And I think about how sometimes when we're struggling in a situation, we look for an answer here, we look for an answer there, and we need to hone our minds into the Lord. Lord, you are the source of my water. Amen. And the only place I can find water. Well, he talks about desperately panting for God in this prayer, and he poured out his pain to God. We need to, in our prayer times or in our war rooms, our prayer closets more specifically, we need to really pour out our pain before the Lord. Yes, He knows it, but there is something about pouring it out, maybe even verbally, just pouring it out. And I do that a lot when I drive, because you can really do that. And so, Lord, here's the pain of my heart. Verse 3 says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? That's all I've tasted, the saltiness of the tears running down my face. And it seems as though those tears are taunting me, saying, where is your God? Where is your God to wipe your tears? And in verse 4 it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of God in praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And a lot of us live in this as well. Sometimes in our crying, we start remembering the past. I remember camp meeting. I remember the revival meeting. I remember when I was a kid in youth group. I remember mama's house or whatever it might be. We remember the past. And we say, Lord, could it be like that again? I remember when I was close to you. Can it be like that once again? I remember when I was really on fire for you. Can it be like that again? And sometimes remembering the past is good. And sometimes remembering the past is bad, because sometimes even the past is painful. But we see where God has brought us through. Christy found a bunch of old tapes. And I say tapes, it's a little camcorder. When you videoed, it had a little bitty tape about that big. And she's been copying those onto digital. And of course, as she does it, she plays it. And we're talking about hours and hours, days worth of stuff. Kids playing basketball and doing all this stuff. And it would be playing while it's copying. And she had it set up on the kitchen table. And you'd hear a voice. And I'd run in there and start looking through the little viewfinder. And there would be one of the kids, and they'd have the little squeaky voice of being a kid. And sometimes you say, well, could it be like that again? Well, it won't be like that again, but God is still a God of renewal. Yes. God can make all things new. Yes. And we pray for Gary. God can make Gary new. Yes. The second thing, we not only call upon the Lord, but we have to check our own attitudes. Where are we focusing? What are we thinking? Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And he's talking to himself there. Do you ever talk to yourself? Why am I down? Why am I depressed here? Why am I cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, the help of his countenance. Countenance meaning his presence there. I know I'm down, but I will still hope in the Lord. I don't see an answer to my prayer, but I'm going to still hope. People might think I'm crazy. I'm just going to walk by faith, period. I'm going to keep walking by faith. I keep believing. Everybody keeps throwing darts and saying, why do you believe that? I'm going to keep walking by faith, not by the sight of this world. His soul had been disquieted, meaning someone in great commotion or rage. Soul was in an uproar. He was all in a fit. Everything was tumbling in his being. And that's how the writer felt in his soul. But as he reflected on the Lord, and he knew what God had done for him in his past, because he had remembered his past, he said, God, you can do it again. And you know, it's so funny. We see so many examples in Scripture of people forgetting. Elijah forgot real quick, didn't he? After he had this great victory and Jezebel said, I'm coming after you, he ran to the woods. God, kill me now. She's coming after me. And I wonder if God would sometimes put his hands on his head. Like, you got to be kidding me, Elijah. I just gave you a great victory. Do you think I can do it again? We have that. Oh, my soul. And as you pray and as you have times that are in the valley and not on the mountaintop, when you pray, remember what God has done for you and know that he can do it again. A third thing here, we commit ourselves to the Lord's care. None of us have a problem, well, we might, but when we go to a doctor, we do what the doctor says generally. If the doctor pulls out a syringe and says, I'm going to give you a shot, but you say, go ahead, whatever you say, because we believe that you have the degrees and you know what you're doing. Now, that isn't always the case, but we still kind of we put ourselves in his or her care. Well, why don't we put ourselves in the care of the Lord? Now look at verses 6 and 7. My God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I'll remember you from the land of Jordan. I remember what you did, not only from me, but from my people as well. And from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mazar, deep calls until the deep of the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows have gone over me. I know what you've done. And sometimes in my prayers, I not only remember what God did for me, I call on Scripture and say, God, if you did it for Elijah, you can do it for me. If you deliver Job, you can deliver me, and keep going with that, because God's a God of deliverance. God's a God of newness. I heard J. Vernon McGee point out that this is the same kind of language that Jonah used. When Jonah was talking in Jonah chapter 2, he said, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surround me. All your billows and your waves pass over me." And I say this to us, sometimes let's just take Scripture and let the waves go over us. When I'm down, turn to the Lord. Turn to Scripture and let it bathe me and bathe me again. I used to like to do yard work. Now I do it because it's got to be done, right? So I go out yesterday, and it was cloudy. So I say, this is nice. Get out in the cloud. And I'm halfway through doing the yard, and I hear thunder in the distance. Lightning is coming. So I'm hustling it up, trying to finish. And it starts to rain. And I come inside, and I'm pushing the lawnmower. I've got about that much left. And I said, Lord, I can't get it finished because of the rain. And then he reminds me, just remember a few weeks ago when it was so parched and you were praying for rain. And we get like that at times. It's a back and forth. But the psalmist knew that. And he admitted his anguish to God. And while that's funny when I'm thinking about yard work, in life sometimes we feel like we can't get there. It's not complete. We even pray for people. And we pray. Lord, they're not going to bend their heart to you. Sometimes we get discouraged. And I'll tell you today, keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep pushing through. Again, in verse 6, he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I'll remember you." When you get down and depressed, remember the Lord. When you get discouraged, remember what he has done and what he will do. The next line here in verse 8, we also need to confess our faith in God. I trust not in me, but in God. I can't pull myself up by my bootstraps, therefore I will trust in the Lord. I can't get out of this fix myself, therefore I will trust in the Lord. Look at verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Not the Lord might or the Lord could, but the Lord will command his loving kindness. Yes. And we need to start praying, Lord, I know you will. I know you will. I believe you. I'm walking in you and I'm walking in the light of your loving kindness. Yes. In Psalm 40, David lifted up another prayer. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Something we need to hear again and again and again. God loves you. God is for you, not against you. Our young mothers and young fathers and our children and our teens need to hear that again and again and again. Because Satan's got the darts of the world throwing at them. They need to hear again and again and again. God loves you. We love you. We're for you, not against you. In Psalm 36, verse 5, the word loving kindness is translated mercy. David said, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to me through the clouds." He has mercy for you. There are people who get in all sorts of issues. I met a lady, I think I've mentioned this before, she lived in Orlando, Florida. And she became a prostitute. And here she was in Orlando in a bad way, drugs, prostitution. And she came to know the Lord. And she came to know the Lord. He created a new creature in her. And she said, "I can't leave where I am because I can't leave these other girls." And she got a house and got some people to support it and built kind of a house in Orlando where she could take girls off the street and give them hope in Christ. And let Christ make them into new creatures in Christ. That's a beautiful story. It's beautiful when I think about what God has done for people, what God is doing for people, and what he will do for people. So it brings me to this last thing here above the freedom is never free, and we'll get to that next week. And that is simply this. We need to keep on calling and keep on calling and keep on calling. Don't stop the calling. Let's read verses 8, 9, and 10 again. Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Both in the day and the night he's there. He's not going to forget about me when it's dark, and forget about me when it's light. Verse 9, I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Verse 10, as with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, and they keep saying, where is your God? Every time in my life, and I guess it's true of you as well, when I get down and I get depressed, not clinically, but when I get depressed, I hear the little voice, where is your God now? Where is Jesus? Where is the Lord? Satan, he might as well give up on this one. Because when he comes to me with that, I said, okay, now I know. You're trying to hit me when I'm down, when I'm tired, when I'm discouraged. And I'll tell you this, I will stand upon the Lord and what he's done for me, what he will do, and I'll stand on his word. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. Persistent in our prayers. I was reading about George Mueller the other day. George Mueller, great man of prayer, born in 1805, ran an orphanage. Many mornings he would be walking to the orphanage before the kids would be up. And he said, Lord, you know, there's not even food in the cupboard, but I trust you this day. And he said many times, and a wagon from a farm would pull up and it'd say, George, do you need food for the kids? And yeah, I need it. Well, anyway, George prayed for a man, and he prayed for a man for 62 years. And as he was about to die, he said, do you regret praying for this man? He said, no way do I regret it. I believe that God will honor my prayer of 62 years. I've been persistent in my prayers. George Mueller died, and this man, Dr. Pearson, who's telling this story, was preaching in Bristol, England. And he told about George Mueller, and a man came up after the service and he said, I'm one of the men he was praying for, and I've just come to know the Lord months ago. And he said, my friend, the other guy, he's not here today, but he is a recent convert as well. Yeah. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Don't stop. In hard times, we need to keep on calling on the Lord, and we need to keep checking our thought process, our attitude. Verse 11 repeats verse 5. It's an interesting thing. Verse 5 and verse 11 are the same verses. And the key is the answer at the end. Verse 11 says, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He ends this psalm with the way he began. I'm thirsty for you, Lord. I'm down. I'm having a hard time. I'm really underneath the circumstances. But I will not remain there. I will hope in my Lord. And I know that your presence and your countenance will be there for me. Now, I want to point out there was a word that is used in this particular passage quite a bit. And it's the word why. W-H-Y. A big word. We sometimes have the littlest among us, our kids, ask it the most. Why? And sometimes you I don't know. We just do that. Why? That is not a word we should run from. 63 times in the book of Job, the word why is there. 66 times in the Psalms, we see the word why. Do you know where else we see the word why? When Jesus was on the cross, we see in Matthew 27, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I say this in our prayers, when we have issues and we have problems, don't be afraid to ask God why. And it's not just the why in that, why did this happen to me? It is, why is this happening to me? Because I know you're leading me somewhere through this. I know you're honing my character. You've got me on your anvil. You're shaping me. Why, oh Lord, what is the purpose for this season of my life? Last week I shared about Corrie Ten Boom being in the prison camp in Germany. And her sister was there, and they had the fleas. And Betsy was saying, Corey, we've got to thank God for everything, all circumstances. Let's even thank him for the fleas. And Corey said, you're nuts. I'm not doing that. We've been taken captive. I'm in a concentration camp. I'm not thanking God for fleas. And finally, she succumbed to her sister's gentle tug, and she thanked God for the fleas. And not long after that, they started to realize, as they met in the barracks there, they were able to have Bible study in this Nazi prison camp, and the guards never bothered them, and they found out why. The guards didn't want to come in the barracks because there were fleas. The fleas kept the guards out. Before we start to get into thanking God for fleas, I'm not going there. I'm saying, why, Lord, is it like this? What is your purpose for this season of my life? Our wonderful Savior was willing to walk in our shoes. He was willing to go through the same kind of confusion we go through. And he in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross, why, Lord? Why does it have to be this way? But when the Lord answered, let it be your will, not mine. So I'll end that with verse 11. And I want to say to each of you who come in this morning discouraged, hope in the Lord. Praise Him. Let His presence fill your life. When in doubt, doubt your doubts more than you doubt God.